Hello, I'm Maurizio Mingardi, pastor of Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. I'm going to continue on the series we start on the spiritual side of COVID-19. This is the third message. And we already saw some important thoughts and ideas that we can receive from the Bible. We can see that God's people are in a communion with God, and when they are in obedience, then they have an impact on everything around them. When they start to be involved in the world, caught up with the things around them, they end up accepting the values of the world, and as a consequence of that, they lose the benefit from their relationship with God. It's not that God doesn't love them. He's always communicating to us, always try to let us know, to direct us in his love for the things that are going to be able to make us in a position, putting us in a position that we can receive from him. The thing is, the problem is not with God, it's with us. Sometimes we just don't hear. And the reason why is that we get other ideas, other thoughts, and we allow the world around us to influence us instead of doing what we should be doing, which actually is influencing the world around us. We are called to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and if we don't do our salting and the spreading of the light, then what happens is that we end up receiving from the world instead of impacting and changing it. And as a consequence of that, we go from a period of time when God is with us and we are in the position to receive. And as we receive, the whole world receives. From a position that we can receive to a position in which we are following the way of the world, and we are not any longer in the position for God to bless us, and we are on our own. The impact is on us and on the whole world. And we have to realize that this is not something new. It's something that happens over and over in cycles in the history of man. And we have to learn to recognize what's going on and to respond to what God is telling us all along. He wants us to be blessed, but he cannot bless us if we do not line up with it, with his word, with his direction. So we need to be not conformed to the world, but transformed through his word, through his direction, and his strength. Now, you can hear often people talking about that we are getting close to the end, which is clear, but we are not there yet. There are many indications that we're going to see that it's a way to go. And God is still calling on us to respond to his direction. You know, people talk about the birth pang of, the birth that is taking place, the transformation is taking place. And generally, that is directed toward the fact that the world is messed up. Really, it's not for us to blame the world for what they do. But we have to realize that, the problem is that we are not doing the salting job that we should have done. We are not doing the preserving job. And so the world is just going its way, as always does, and we are going along with it. So, if we want to change, we have to line up again with the Word of God. And instead of going according to the things we want to hear or the things we are being comfortable with, we should go to the Word and see what it says, because in the Word is everything that we need to hear for helping us and correcting us. You know, the scripture that we used last time that, you can hear often today, quoted, is really a good indication of what we have to do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. You know, this is a scripture that really is telling us what we have to do and what the problem is. You know, he's not saying, if the world is going to call on my name. He says, if my people who are called by my name. So it's not, you can't expect the world to do what our part is. We have to do our part. And our part is to realize what's going on, listen to what he's saying, and respond in the way that he expects us to respond. He says, number one, that you have to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves, you know, involved in fasting, putting ourselves down, realizing the mistake we made, realize that we have a problem. And it's not the world that's a problem. The very moment when we start blaming others for what our problem is, we are going to get nowhere with God. You see, this is not the time that we go around saying, you know, there are doctrines today that are valid and true, but you have to apply proper doctrine to the proper time, to the proper situation. You know, if you are in a place of disobedience, if you're in a place of being backslidden, and you try to exercise the authority of the believers, you are fooling yourself. You have no authority whatsoever in you. The authority is in him. And you, as a connected with him, as a representative of what he is, as, you know, the in communion with Christ, then, yes, you can speak in his name. Otherwise, you can't speak in his name. It's not a formula. It's a reality that has to be happening within you, in your spirit. When we are influenced by the world, we have no authority whatsoever to command anything. You know that there are so many examples of that in the scriptures, and there's so many direction and correction in there that we cannot ignore if you want to get anywhere. You know, we have to listen more than talk so much, more than try to impose our doctrines on God. He knows them better than we do. We don't need to work things up. We have to line ourselves up with his word. That is what makes the difference. You know, the scripture I want to repeat that I said last week, you know, I want to say it again, is Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand this error? Cleanse me from secret faults. You know, and the idea is the things that we have blinded ourselves because we have convinced ourselves that we are okay, when all the evidences in the world shows something else. The following verse, 13, keep back my secret, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. See, what is presumptuous sins? It's referring to the verse before. You cannot separate verses. You cannot take a scripture in itself. You have to take the whole context there. And the presumptuous sins are things that we presume to have right. You know, things that we think that we are right about. Things that we are arrogant because we are not listening. See, there is a presumption there. So it says, let them have no dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. See, that's when we really are blameless, when we don't fool ourselves that we are okay when we aren't. And I shall be innocent of great transgressions. You know, this is so critical for us to understand. Then, only then, not try to do it. When those two verses are a reality in our life, then verse 14 becomes true. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, this is really what makes a difference. You cannot, that verse is always taken in isolation. You cannot do that and use verses to prove your point. You have to let the word prove the point of God in you. So, you know, we had to be reached, going to God humbly ourselves. Humbling ourselves means don't think you got it because you haven't. If you are before God, He always has more understanding and information than all the understanding and information that you have. And if you listen, He's going to correct you. If you don't listen, you are staying in your error and your mistakes. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says something very important about that. So, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think how soberly, as God has dealt with each one of them a measure of faith. You know, not everybody has the same degree of faith. Not everybody has the same gifts in operation in them. The very moment when we think we got it, really is the moment when we are in trouble, because really we have not got everything that we need. There is a long way that we have to go yet. So when we are in that position, when we humble ourselves, when we recognize that we haven't got it, the whole thing, but we need God's help and direction for everything, just all our theology is nothing compared to the thought of God. No matter how much we think we got it together, that's the time when we can pray properly. See, pray is not just, you know, people get a truth and they make it the truth. Everything based on ourselves. You know, there are different type of prayers. Not all the prayers can be the same. If you are in a position in which you are following God and obeying and you say, you know, you believe in Him, and then you can really say, yes, you know, the things that I do, you shall do also in greater things. But when you are not doing that and you try to do it, you are fooling yourself. Not all prayer is the same. There are different type of prayers, and that depends on where we are at the moment. And to see where we are at the moment, we have to see what's going on around us. What kind of impact we have. You know, when we need wisdom, you don't go to God and say, well, I need a car, because it's not connected. When you need healing, you don't go and God and say, you know, well, I need $1,000 in the bank. You go according to the need that is in your life. If you have going through some trouble, you don't go around and say, well, you know, I'm okay. You need to go to God and ask, I need wisdom here. Show me what I have to do. Tell me the things that I need to know. Am I making a mistake? Am I doing something that I don't see? Open my eyes. See, this is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, chapter 1. It says, you know, that open their eyes to give them spiritual understanding. They needed to be able to see things and not just go by some doctrine that they learned from somebody else. See, that doctrine may be true, but they're not the whole truth. It's the whole counsel of God that has to take it into account, and you have to apply properly to your own life, to your own situation, to your own time. Now, we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 4, talking about believers that have itchy ears, that they want to people preaching, and there are, you know, things that they like. Well, if you read the Bible and instead of just reading just some verses, you read through the whole thing. You see that the Bible deals with different situations in very different way. The things that Paul wrote to the Ephesians are very different from the things that James wrote to the church, for example. And it's not because they have a different perspective, it's just that there are different things to be dealt with. There are different situations that need to be addressed in the people. I want to go to James chapter 4. And that shows really, you know, the difference between what maybe the book of Ephesians said and what the book of James said. James chapter 4 verse 1 says, where do wars and fight come from among you? Do they do not come from your desire for pleasures? There are wars in your members. See, that's really the key word that we had to take for today. The world today is based on a hedonistic approach, a philosophy to life in general. And that doesn't involve only the world. The church is as much hedonistic today as the church, as the world is. There is an infiltration of the spirit there. You know, this is the word hedonistic means really has to do with basing ourselves for our own pleasure, for our own desire, okay, our lusts. Comes from the word itself, even in English, comes from the Greek word eidonai, which actually means lusts or desires. And so this is for the desire for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You know, and here he said, well, I'm asking. I'm asking lots of things. Well, are you asking the right thing? See, if you just read the following verses, you know, adulterers and adulteresses, you do not know the friendliness with the world is enemy to God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend with the world makes himself. It's not that God becomes your enemy. You make yourself an enemy of God. See, God always wants to reach us. He's always there trying to communicate with us, to give us the right direction. But when we choose the other way, we separate ourselves from him. Okay? Or do you think that the scripture said that the spirit dwells in us, earn jealously? For he gives more grace. Praise the Lord. How does he give more grace? Let's see it in a moment. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, talking of going back to the scripture we just started with today, you know, humble yourself before God. This is what makes the difference. That's what we had to do. That's the way we are going to hear something. Otherwise, we are going to stay in our own error. Therefore, but God, you see, God. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The following verse. Therefore, number one, submit to God. Submit to God means, you know, you make yourself listen to what he's saying. Resist the devil. That means, you know, you come against what? The situation? No. How do you resist the devil? You resist the temptation he's trying to put on you. He cannot make you do anything, but you have to resist it. You have to oppose it. And he will flee from you. You see, today, you are not going to cast down the spirit of COVID-19. You are playing games if you try to do that. He's going to go because God's presence is with you. You think that you have, if you had so much power, it doesn't even come to you. If it comes to you, it's because the door was open. All right. You know, that reminds me, the story of the son of Shiva. You remember that? You know, seven brothers? They were there trying to cast out demons in Jesus who Paul's talked about. The demon possessed beat them up and had to run away, leaving their clothes behind. You know, when you don't have power, don't think that you do, because you're going to get beaten up only. You have to get to the place in which you have power. Paul never had a problem with somebody beating him up because Jesus when they were coming against some demonic power. But when you try to do that, and you have just the presumption to have power, then the enemy is going to laugh in your face. You're going to get nowhere. So draw near, verse 8, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So that's what you have to do. It's not that complicated. See, sometimes we have a theology that we like and becomes a toy that we want to play all the time. When it's time, not the time to play with that toy, there is some other things that we have to use and consider. All right. Draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners. Purify your... Talking to believers. He's not talking to the world. Purify your heart. You're double-minded. Lament and mourn. Doesn't say have a party. We all like to have Christian parties. Today is not a thing to do. Because with Christian parties, you're not going to win. Because you're trying to fool yourself the way I've been fooling for the last 50 years. Because in the last 50 years, Christianity values are going down all the time. Why is that? It's the world? Well, the one is inside you is bigger than the one in the world. I don't like to have to say these things. But if you want to keep your eyes closed, don't complain that you're not going to get the result you want. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joys to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of God and he will lift you up. It's not by having a party that you're going to be lifted up. Because as soon as the party finished, you're worse than you were before. And you are deceived. Okay. Now, let's continue. Seek his face. That's what we have to do. As we humble ourselves, we don't humble ourselves to hear from him. We humble ourselves to be able to connect with him. Okay. And we finally turn to from our wicked way. Evidently, you can turn for something you haven't done. But if you don't even see what you have done that is wrong, how are you going to be able to turn from there? I believe this is a wake-up call for the church. And the reason is because we are getting close to the end. True. But it's not by the usual approaches that we have been taking for the last 50 years that we are going to get anywhere. We had to change something to have some different results. You cannot have the same result doing the same thing you have been doing up to now that brought you to the point where we are. Don't blame the world. God doesn't deal with the world, deals with you, because you are his people. So I believe that this is a wake-up call, and I think that we have all the information that we need to come out in victory. And really, the information is right in front of our nose as we go to the Word of God and we look at the time we are in, the way it's described in the Bible. You know, we need revelation. And this, I mean with that we need God's revelation, But actually, the book of Revelation is the revelation that we need for today. The thing is, many people don't like to look at the book of Revelation because there are lots of negative things happening there. But actually, the book of Revelation is the revelation that we need to resolve our situation at the present time. We have all the information that we need. If we go there, humble ourselves instead of thinking that we got it, humble ourselves, see what the instructions are so that we are going to be in a different place. And maybe we can even turn around what's happening today. You know, in Revelation 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Servants, it's plural. Everybody that is listening to him. Things which must shortly take place. We said it many years ago, but evidently so many years have passed, we are getting closer to that. That he sent and signified it by his angel, his servant John. So, you know, to his servant John. So that's where we are going to do. You know, really, the title of the book is Revelation in Apocalypse, comes from the Greek, which means unveiling. In Revelation, you see, the thing is we're dealing with are mysteries. Mysteries we cannot work out by logic, by our philosophies, by our thinking. Mysteries are revealed and they have to be received by our spirit, because they are revealed to us by God as we hear what he's saying. And this is really why it's so important. This is why so many people have a problem with the book of Revelation. Because if you read it just like a book and try to make an analysis of it, the only thing come out is your thinking and your perspective about things. We need revelation. The prayer that was prayed by Paul for the Ephesians, you know, that you may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation through the knowledge of him, that you may have the understanding that you need. About spiritual things for today. This is what we had to pray. That we had to go before God. That's the prayer that we should pray today. So that we go into his presence and we start see things in his way, in his perspective, not according to our theology, because our theology hasn't been working properly. Because it brought us to the place where we are today. That's why I'm saying this is a wake-up call. If you go down to verse 3 of Revelation, it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So you see, it's not something scary. It's not something that is, we should go away from because we are not enjoying. This is something that we should go and read and listen so that we can get blessed. The objective, always, God's objective is to bless us. And this is a typical example in which we can find out ways out of situations that we are in today if we heed and listen to it. So blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. See, I believe that we have a part we can play to postpone this and to change the timing that we are in if we do what God wants us to do. It's not time to get scared. It's not time to be panicky about it. It's time to open up to God and to allow God to work in us, to enable us to have victory in the situation. We can have that. And here he says, you can see very clearly, verse 4. So John, to the seven churches. See, the number seven is a symbolic thing that implying, the number of completeness. I mean, this means, you know, anything that we need today in the church is going to contain in this prophecy. That's what it's telling us. So, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And from those, from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And the seven spirits are really the seven, you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit that is in the presence of God. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us for our own sins in his own blood. Now this is introducing the topic. And I'm not going to go through all the explanation. I'm not going to go through all the book of Revelation. There are some parts that we had to hear that are directed to the churches because this applied to us. See, Jesus was bringing this vision so that he could bless the churches if they will listen and hear it and apply to their life. That's what we just finished reading. Blessed he who reads and who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, verse 17. Let's move there and see what it says there. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. See, there always what God is going to tell us when we are receiving from him is don't fear. Don't be afraid. When we are with God, there is nothing to make us fearful. He is always there to help us and give us strength. Verse 18. I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. See, this is really revealing himself, saying the fact that, you know, he, the one who lives and was dead. He's alive and is alive forevermore. This should be an indication of where he's at, the power that he has today, and what we can expect to happen in our life. And says, verse 19, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things that will take place after this. So you see, he's telling John to do three things. Number one, to write the things that are seen right now, right then. Then the things that you have seen, the things that were done before. Then the things which are the present time, so the things that apply to now, and the things that are going to be taking place later on. So actually this book, to give, you know, this prophecy deals with three different times, the three different ages. The age of the past, the age that is now, or if you call it the age of the church,